Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon. I am the minister of the Linden United Reformed Church, and here I am also president of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, and we are very thankful to have our own board and to also bring these radio broadcasts to you, but we do need both your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in. So here we are. We're continuing our study in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and what a powerful section this has been, because the beginning of the section told us that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation, and we have unpacked the reason for that. When you have a statement like that, it is expressing and telling us about the awful state of Israel at the time. The priests were ruling by their own authority, and the people had turned also from the word of the Lord. I want to pick up here with Jeremiah chapter 23 to set the context of the kind of things that happened in these environments. Listen to Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said you shall have peace. In other words, the false prophets always went around saying, peace, peace, everything's great. God loves, God won't judge, God's understanding. Well, then what does he say? And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. You're okay to live in your sin. God doesn't mind. Sound familiar, by the way? For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? That's the question. Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they have run. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and cause my people to hear my words, then they would have turned from their evil way and from their evil doings. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? There's your test, dear listener. When the one who speaks to you supposedly in the name of the Lord, is he flattering you? Is he telling you everything's great? Peace, peace, you can live however you want. Or is he speaking to you the word of the Lord because he stood in that council and all he can do is deliver that word faithfully? This is what 1 Samuel 3 is all about. This is what 1 Samuel 3 is all about. And here it is. This is as what happens here, Samuel's being called by the Lord to be his prophet, and the Lord comes at this third call. Remember, Eli perceives in verse 8 that the Lord was calling young Samuel. So he tells Samuel, go and lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. You know what just happened? Samuel is now standing in the counsel of the Lord. The Lord is present. The Lord is called. Samuel is standing in his counsel, and the Lord is now going to send him with a message. Samuel, Samuel, God is raising up his prophet, standing in the presence of God. Samuel says, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I've sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. What a moment. Samuel's first prophetic revealing was the total destruction of Eli's house. People are going to be so terrified when they see this, their lips will shake, says the Lord. You know how awful verse 14 is? I have sworn that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Wow. No forgiveness. God just sent his word, and Samuel is now the bearer of that. You see what's happened here? Samuel is established as God's prophet to Israel. He's the bearer of that word. So he goes back and he lies down and he can barely handle that word. He is in great fear. He lies there until morning. And Eli comes in the morning and demands that Samuel tell the word. He gives no option out. Whatever he said come upon you, Samuel, if you don't tell me everything that the Lord said. And now, dear listener, God's prophet is going to bear the report. A true prophet speaks only what God has told him to speak. And I want you to think about it. How hard do you think it was to bear the message of the doom of his own teacher and priest? But you see, this is the very point. I would love, as a preacher, to let Eli off the hook. I would love to make him innocent, but that doesn't change anything. The Lord is the judge. And the true messenger, the true prophet, the true preacher, scared as he often is called to declare only what the Lord has said. This is so important for us today. In our day, dear listener, how will you know a true preacher from a false one? Well, often his message will be hard. Often it will be challenging, confronting. But the single great way you will know it is his willingness to speak what God has already revealed in the Word. In other words, his willingness to also speak about the consequences of sin and death, physically and eternally. That for those who remain unrepentant, we have to be very clear about this today. There is absolutely no forgiveness. And whoever, dear listener, maybe you're listening today for the first time. Maybe you've been listening for a long time. The message is really clear. Whoever does not believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, trusting in him by true faith, there is absolutely no atonement for your sins. But instead, when you die, you go down to a place of eternal darkness called hell, a place prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, when's the last time you've heard that? Maybe it's not having an effect today. The gospel isn't, because we're not saying that. Every true pastor has some kind of fear in preaching that because of how people may respond. And that's why the message has all but been eliminated today. But the sincerity and the truthfulness and the love of God's messenger will be seen in his willingness to say it. And because he wants people, he desires everyone who hears to be saved. And here at that message, Eli humbles himself before God. He confesses that the Lord is righteous, that he does whatever he pleases. Now, how can we sum all this up this week on Abounding Grace? Well, here Samuel is presented as having been called by God, having stood in his presence, and having spoken just what God had commanded him to speak. Amidst all of this darkness, and in the midst of a time when deep darkness fell over the people, and the word of the Lord was rare, and there was a famine in the land, what did the Lord do? He's so merciful, dear listener. He just raised up a prophet. So verse 9 tells us, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel knew from Dan to Beersheba that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. And the text ends with saying that the Lord again revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to Israel. What does this section end with? God established before all the people, Samuel. Everyone recognized him as God's prophet. God made him a prophet. And his faithfulness was seen in all of this, in his provision for the people to bring them out of the darkness and bring them the word of God. And you see, that's exactly what Jesus was to the people. When Jesus came, the people in darkness saw what? They saw a great light. He is the word. And when he spoke, everyone realized, all of Israel, that this was the prophet of the Lord. His speaking was different. Remember what they said? And this is after Jesus gave that powerful sermon on the Mount. What did they say about Jesus? This is Matthew 7, verse 28. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When it says the word of Samuel came to all of Israel, these were the words of the Lord. When people heard Jesus, they were blown out of their minds because the prophet of God had come. Has God today left you in the darkness? Are we in a famine? Has revelation ceased? Here's what overwhelms me today. Does God speak to you today? Will you hear a voice on your bed tonight? No. How do you know what the word of the Lord is? How has God spoken to you? Hebrews tells us that God in various times and in various ways has spoken in times past through his prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us through his Son. You see, when you love the word, when you're hearing the word, when the preaching of the word is faithful, you are hearing God's word. And you see, what happens in you is what the Psalms describe. Psalm 119, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. In these last days, God has handed you his written word, the word of God spoken by his Son. And when his servants faithfully preach that, it is his word to you. It's so important for us today to love that word. That's what's at stake. The single great blessing that he's given to you, dear listener, is his word. Do you know that word? Has the word of the Lord been revealed to your heart and mind? What a tragedy it would be to have a famine with the word of God in your hands. If you hear that word today and have trusted in God's provision for atonement, Jesus Christ, you can be assured that his word to you is one of peace and not judgment. That's how wonderful the word of God is. May this powerful, living word by which we have a new birth always, dear listener, have a deep place in our minds and in our hearts. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, so we ask both for your prayerful and financial support to continue bringing these programs to you. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.